Hello, and thank you for listening to Call the Roll, a public affairs program produced by the Columbus City Council and aired here on Freedom FM. I'm your host, John Ivan, Communications Director for the Columbus City Council. On this week's show, Mayor Coleman is not running for a fifth term and a third quarter financial review. We begin with Mayor Michael B. Coleman stepping aside as mayor of the city of Columbus once he completes his fourth term at the end of 2015. Elected in 1999 and reelected in 2003, 7, and 11, Mayor Coleman has built Columbus's reputation as one of the best cities in the nation by building stronger, safer neighborhoods, creating jobs, and maintaining a high quality of life. Columbus is now the 15th largest city in the nation, the largest city in Ohio, and the fastest growing city in the Midwest. Columbus's first African-American mayor, Coleman is the longest serving mayor in Columbus's history and the longest serving incumbent black mayor among major U.S. cities. In a letter to the community council president, Andrew J. Ginther praised Coleman for his investment in public safety, saying, quote, "We live in the safest big city in America. Because of Coleman's ability to develop public-private partnerships, we are one of the strongest economies in the country. We are adding jobs, and we are the only city in Ohio that continues to grow." Ginther continued, "Because of his sound financial decisions, we have a balanced budget and the best credit rating possible, and because of his leadership, we have been able to build upon the strength of our neighborhoods and create an open and inclusive community that embraces diversity and promotes equality," end quote. At Coleman's City Council Chambers announcement last week was Congresswoman Joyce Beatty, who spoke enthusiastically about Coleman's tenure as mayor.
"It is certainly my honor to be here to say a few introductory words about the mayor. It is great to be flanked by family and friends and supporters. Clearly, this legend needs no introduction to you, because his accomplishments, boldness in leadership, and love for this city is known to all. But as a colleague and a dear friend, it gives me great pleasure to offer these comments before he speaks. Mayor Coleman, mayors are judged by results. And someone once said, effort and courage are not enough without purpose and direction. Mayor Coleman, a great legend, and as earlier someone in a prayerful way said, he has been a great steward of this city, and his hands are on the steering wheel. Mayor Michael Coleman is a history maker, and not only because of his race and ethnicity, but because of his purpose and direction. You see, in 1999, he became our 52nd mayor and our longest-serving mayor. He has spearheaded major programs, initiatives, projects, developed, designed, and revitalized neighborhoods, appointed educational czars, created opportunities for all our children, and provided after-school programs, protected the environment, retained jobs, leveraged dollars, founded or co-founded some 27 organizations, created initiatives to build Columbus to be the best place to live, work, and raise a family. Big ideas, big challenges, big legacies, because he understands big is not better, but better is better. And Michael Coleman has certainly been better. Mayor Coleman, you have built Columbus, and you have made its reputation one of the best cities in the nation. We are very proud, and you should be very proud. The saying, the future belongs to those who prepare for it today, reminds me of a story that the mayor frequently shares. It is the story about two words by Supreme Court Justice Thurgood Marshall that changed the direction in your life, Mayor, when you were still in college and you waited to meet the late Supreme Court Justice, to whom you proudly told that you were planning to earn a law degree. "So what?" asked Justice Marshall. "What are you going to do with it?" And at that point, Mayor Coleman, you realize that the true measure of life is not determined by who you are or what you are, but rather by what you do and how you help others. So now let me say to you, Mayor Coleman, the two most powerful words we can say: thank you. Thank you for what you do in helping others. Thank you for what you do in helping all of us. We stand here because we are proud to call you mayor, and I am even prouder to call you my friend. Colleagues, family, and friends, a man who needs no introduction, a man who is a great legend and will even leave a greater legacy. My mayor, as I fondly and will always say, but today, our mayor. Join me with a rousing applause for Mayor Michael B. Coleman.
Thank you, Congresswoman. With all that, I think I'm going to change my mind. I'm not done. No, thank you so much for that. Good afternoon. In November of 1999, the voters of this great city hired me for the best job in the world. I am eternally grateful and humbled by the trust they put in me and by the opportunity they gave me. Serving as your mayor has filled me with pride and tremendous joy. Playing a part in the transformation of this great city has been an honor and a privilege. When my fourth term expires at the end of next year, it will be my final term as mayor. This is among the most difficult decisions I have ever made. The city of Columbus, city of Columbus has become a part of who I am. It is in my blood, and I love the city of Columbus. I love the residents of Columbus, and I love being mayor of Columbus. So I can barely say these words: I will not be running for a fifth term. I struggled mightily over whether I should seek a fifth term. I was encouraged by the people of our city. I was developing a fifth term agenda, but something happened along the way. 1 week ago, I turned 60 years old. And this milestone in my life did not make me feel old at all, because we all know that 60 is a new 40. But it did force me to think about my future for a change. That there is so much more in life yet to do. Some mountains to climb and rivers to cross. In almost 23 years of public life, I've served as a city council member and for the past 16 years, mayor of the greatest city in the world. Prior to that, I worked as a legislative aide and as an attorney. I was 44 when I was elected mayor. I'll be 61 at the end of my term. I feel great, and I have a lot of energy and a whole lot of new ideas. But it's time to venture into new frontiers. And if I'm going to do something new before I reach retirement age, at the age of 85... I probably need to do it at the end of this term rather than 5 years from now. And though I have not reached every goal or completed every project, we are at a point where I am extremely proud of the city we have become. Serving as your mayor has been an incredibly fulfilling journey. I have led this city through the best and the worst of times. through economic crises, and now in a renaissance. I have promoted, I have advocated, I have fought for Columbus. I have wept and I have struggled for Columbus. I have had sleepless nights and joyous days. I have managed and directed the business of this city. But most of all, I dreamed what Columbus could be and worked to achieve it. And as I loved every minute of this, even in our most difficult times. One thing is for sure, I have done my best and worked my hardest to make this city great. I will let history judge my tenure. Just know that while I will no longer be mayor in 13 months, I am not yet done contributing to the life and to the swagger of the city of Columbus. We still have more work to do. And while I am not certain what I'll do next, there will be a next. I want to acknowledge that I have the best cabinet, the best staff, and the best employees of any mayor in this nation. They serve our residents with integrity and ingenuity. I thank all of them for their service to me and to our city. I have the best kids any dad in the nation could ever have. Kimberly, who's in Chicago, Justin, who is here, right there, and JD, who is in North Carolina right now, I'm so proud of each of them. Having a mayor for a father is not an easy thing. My family has gone through a lot and sacrificed a great deal for me. And I want to thank Janelle for her love and support in my entire family and my friends who are all here today. Just a few of them. All I could reach this morning. for being there for me over the past many, many years. We have the best residents of any city in the nation, and we have more to do together. I have another 13 months left on my term, and I don't intend to spend them looking through old photo albums. My intention is to continue working to improve the lives of residents as I have for the past 15 years, and I intend on focusing on getting this city convention ready and raising the resources for the convention without the distraction of a political campaign. I want to thank all our residents for giving me this great honor and for making Columbus the best city in the nation to live, to work, and to raise a family. Thank you.
Columbus City Council member Priscilla R. Tyson, the chair of the Finance Committee, has hosted a review of the city's third quarter finances. Tyson and Finance and Management Director Paul Rakowski gave the public an update on where the city stands heading into the budget formation season.
To begin, the Finance Department Director Paul Rakowski will review our financial position through the third quarter of 2014. Before starting, I want to make sure you are aware that tonight's hearing is being recorded for a rebroadcast on CTV, Columbus's governmental television channel 3, and then the rebroadcast schedule is available at www.columbus.gov. The third quarter review is an important financial report. By the end of the third quarter, we have an accurate picture of how our revenue and expenses will be for the remainder of 2014. This information has been used to inform the mayor's budget proposal. On November the 14th, Columbus City Council received the mayor's general fund budget proposal, and we will hold a series of hearings to discuss that proposal in the coming weeks and months. Columbus is one of the best managed cities in the entire country. We continue to be the largest city in America to receive a AAA bond rating from the three major rating agencies. We have streamlined the operation of our government and are on track to save as much as $260 million for taxpayers by 2019. Now remember, we promised the residents in 2009 that through efficiencies and reforms that $100 million would be saved. So it's been only 5 years and we've already exceeded that goal. We will also continue to set aside dollars in the rainy day fund. $2.2 million will be put into our reserves next year, raising the total to $67 million in the rainy day fund. We are on track to have set aside $75 million by 2018. So in a moment, Director Rakowski will begin his review of our finances. He will share that the city's continued controls on hiring and expenditures will allow us to once again spend less than we have originally budgeted. Director Rakowski, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Chair Tyson, and good evening. As you know, the purpose of our quarterly review is that the Department of Finance and Management examines the projected financial condition of the city for the remainder of the year based upon a review of revenues and expenditures to date, and then projections for the rest of the year's expenditures for all departments and offices. And although we tend to focus on the general fund because it houses many of the major activities and services such as police and fire, refuse collection, economic development activities, and code enforcement, the review includes an analysis of all of the major operating funds. It includes the enterprise funds that fund the divisions over in the utilities department, internal service funds such as the fleet and Department of Technology Information Services Fund, revenue funds such as the street construction, maintenance, and repair fund that funds many of the activities in the service department, the health, recreation, and parks operating funds, and then the community development block grant fund that funds multiple departments and divisions and is based on our grant that we receive from HUD and the federal government. As you mentioned earlier, the third quarter review is the most predictive and important of the reviews. And that's because this is the review upon which the following year's budget carryover amount is based. Most trends are set by this time in the year, so projections are easier to make and they're more accurate at this point. Most contracts have been entered into and at this point, and really we're looking at projections mainly for personnel, though there are some other contracts that will still be entered into towards the end of the year. As we look at the general fund, as of the third quarter, we have greatly improved our position in the general fund. We now project we will expend a little over $780 million. That's $25.6 million less than the original appropriation that Council passed earlier this year. It represents a $16.5 million increase from the first quarter projection. And obviously this is important because it allows us to meet the carryover number as we've spoke before about in the two previous hearings. The carryover number that was used to construct the targets that we put out in August to our departments, or actually in June to our departments. And those were used for when they constructed their budgets that were submitted, and that's the basis of the 2015 budget submissions. If we had not reached that target amount, we would be in a position of having to go back and reduce those budgets. Within the quarterly, we have a table that we call Table A, and that shows the fiscal position of the general fund. And really, the important piece of that is that at the bottom line of that report or that table, it shows the projected carryover. And again, that's projected to be at $25.6 million that we'll be able to carry over into 2015. If you remember in the earlier hearings, we had hoped that we would have, that would be a combination of revenue above the projection as well as savings to get to that number. And it turns out that really what we're looking at is strictly savings, that our revenue is not going to come in as we had hoped to be above the projection. It's really going to track pretty close to the projection. I'll talk about that a little bit later. And that table also includes shows the status of the emergent or the economic stabilization fund, which is what we call our rainy day fund, showing the $64 million ending balance that we're projecting for the end of this year. We're well off on our way to meeting our $75 million commitment by the end of 2018. That deposit has already been made, as has the deposit into our anticipated expenditures fund. We call that the 27th pay period fund. Obviously, there's an anomaly in the calendar that results in a 27th pay period every so many years. And because we are fiscally prudent, we do not wait to budget for that additional pay until it's due. We build up a fund used exclusively to make that payment so that we don't put ourselves in a more difficult situation by trying to come up with that $20 million or so that we'll have to come up with when that payment is due. We also have within that table the Basic City Services Fund. As you remember, we wisely seeded that fund with council's help with $11 million in 2012. We do show our deposit this year of $5.7 million. That is from last year's workers' comp rebate that we received at the end of the year, and council went and, again, wisely placed that into this fund. I will say that the balance in that fund was used in the construction of the 2015 budget, but as we get to our next hearing, we'll talk about the fact that we are going to replenish a significant amount of that withdrawal from that fund. When we look at revenue, I will say that we are looking at comparisons between 2013 and 2014. The charts that we have in the budget or in the quarterly review really illustrate two main things, and this hasn't changed all year as we've talked about this. Number one, it really just shows how much we rely on the income tax to fund the operations of the city and how much that means to the city's general fund, and then therefore how important it is to grow that tax and to retain and create jobs here in the city of Columbus. And then the other thing that those charts illustrate, unfortunately, is the flat or declining nature of all the other major sources of revenue that come into the general fund. While some of those come in a little higher, others come in below, and it tends to really equalize itself out. And so we end up overall outside of the income tax and the growth in the income tax to have really no growth or very small growth in the other sources. The auditor revised his current estimate for the purposes of the 2015 budget. That revision did not occur at the time that we were producing the third quarter review or at the time that the third quarter ended. I will tell you that the revised estimate is slightly higher than the original estimate, but that is because that estimate includes that workers' comp rebate that we received this year. If it did not include that, it would not that estimate would not be above the original estimate. It would it's very, very, very flat in regard to what we would normally expect at this time of year, which would be growth above and beyond the original projection. And I don't see anything in any trends that are going to happen here in the last part of the year that are going to change that. So I do believe that the auditor is going to be very, very close in regard to his estimate for what he's projecting for this year. Again, we talked about expenditures. We are spending $25.6 million less than the original appropriation. And as of the third quarter, it's positive to note that there are no significant deficits in any of the general fund departments, divisions, or offices. As we've talked about all year, again, safety expenditures continue to track below budget, as do current fuel cost projections. Those are two large areas of expense within the general fund. I will also say that our continued controls on hiring and our ongoing reform efforts continue to produce savings within the budget. As you know, we've settled a couple of additional contracts this year that all included reductions in the city's pension pickup, that share of the pension of employees that the city was picking up. That continues over the course of time to control growth and costs. And again, vacancies and the controlling of the filling of those vacancies and other personnel savings are projected at about $8.2 million, which is pretty significant. Generally, the savings are coming from, when we look at the elected officials and their offices, it's really personnel savings with some savings and services for the judges and the auditor, but generally it has been, you know, the wise controlling of hiring and the filling of vacancies in the elected officials. Public safety, when we look at police, it's many of the same areas that we saw at mid-year. Civilian wages, their savings, and of course insurance associated with those civilian wages, as well as supplies and services. In regard to fire, it's uniformed wages due to higher than budgeted retirements. Our retirements are a little bit higher, the projection for those, than we had anticipated at the beginning of the year. And then, of course, there's all the associated benefits that go along with those uniformed wages, and so we're saving there as well. And there are some civilian wage savings in fire as well. Safety director, we have savings in the jail contract of a little over $425,000. Some of our other major departments, health, recreation, and parks, those savings that you see in both of their operating funds are really all related to vacancy savings. As you know, we have a subsidy from the general fund that we give to both recreation and parks and health to augment their operating budget and the revenue that they bring in from their other services. When there is savings overall, that allows us to reduce that subsidy and it creates savings within the general fund. In regard to the service department, really, again, it's personnel savings, and of course we know that the service department houses the refuse collection division, so there are fleet cost savings associated with the refuse division within service. In regard to my own department, finance and management, you know, we have the facilities management division, so we're showing about $1.4 million in utility savings. As we know, utilities can go up and down regard as they reflect the cost in the market. I will say that our AEP retail agreement that we entered into is producing savings, so some of that is related to that agreement that we entered into. Citywide technology billings, there's savings there. Of course, we have our own vacancy savings. The public defender contract, again, that contract is one that varies from year to year. We do our best to guess what that contract's going to be, and then there's a true-up process at the end of the year. Sometimes that's worked to our favor, sometimes it's worked to our disadvantage, but this year we have a favorable, on the favorable side of that contract and those expenses. And then again, the citywide account, where we have expenses that are related to many other departments and other general expenditures that we make, we're projecting to spend $5.3 million less than what was budgeted there, and the bulk of those savings are because of our economic development incentive payments. We budget for those as we believe those are going to need to be made, but in some years we do better and they perform better. Our partners out there in the community perform better, and we owe them a little bit more this year. Some of those have not been met. They're likely going to be met next year, so we've made adjustments in regard to next year, but we do have savings this year in regard to that.
For more on future budget hearings, you can go to the Columbus City Council's website, columbuscitycouncil.org. We are out of time for this edition of Call the Roll. If you have a question or a comment, please email us at calltheroll@columbus.gov. That's callthe roll@columbus.gov. And don't forget, you can follow the Columbus City Council on our Facebook and our Twitter pages. On behalf of the entire Columbus City Council, I'm your host, John Ivanek. Thanks for listening to Freedom FM, and have a great weekend.